This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to episode 286 of the Falcoholic Live. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin, joined by my co-host. He is Adnan Ekic, at Say Which Way. Adnan, how are we doing on this fine Wednesday evening?
Good, good. It's a beautiful summer day. You know, it sort of feels, well, I guess technically it's not summer yet until June 20th.
Yeah.
But it feels like summer. You know, we've hit the 80s. Beautiful weather in Atlanta. This past week, I was up in Eagles territory the past few days for a work trip. So, it was absolutely beautiful up in Pennsylvania as well.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good. Ready to talk some birds.
Yeah, yeah. Not the Eagles. You haven't been converted to the Eagles, you know, from your time there. But yeah, guys, we're gonna be talking about the roster, getting into a little bit more now that the dust has settled on the draft, talking about how the roster looks, sort of areas where we think the Falcons could still stand to add. I'm sure you can guess a few of them, but we'll be talking about the roster, also in preparation of my first 53-man roster projection, which is going to be coming out on Friday, so you got that to look forward to as well. Before we dive in real quick, I want to bring you guys a word from our sponsor, betonline.ag. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoffs. You can get all the latest stats, news, and scores available as you follow your favorite teams on their path to playoffs, championships, and beyond. And Adnan, what's the Braves heat check? You know, should people be betting on the Braves now, or how's it going?
Look, I'm never going to tell you to or not to bet on anyone, but, you know, the Braves have had, you know, a bit of a rough outing out west, but it seems like home cooking is all they needed, because they just beat the Red Sox yesterday. They're beating the Red Sox again today. So, you know, I feel like the Braves are, you know, hot take, the Braves are a much better team when they don't have to, you know, play in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. So, you know what, feeling good about the Braves. And you know what, the NBA and the NHL are also heating up as well into the second round, and we're rolling right now. I love this time of year, even though, you know, it's not football season, but the NBA is really exciting. Every single game, every single night, it's been a blast right now following the NBA.
Yeah, as someone who just dabbles in it casually, I do enjoy just having it on. I feel like it's there's a lot of action. So, you know, whether you guys are interested in the NBA, MLB, what have you, they've got all the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there, including the aforementioned NBA and MLB. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action at betonline.ag, where the game starts. All right, folks. Well, I know we got a question from Bobby. What I know folks obviously want to know what you're drinking, Adnan, as well. But for me, I'm doing another local one. I may have had this one on here before. It's the Hibernation from Prison City, which is from Auburn, New York, which is really close to Syracuse. It is a vanilla porter. It's like got like 100 pounds of Tahitian vanilla beans in it, and it is very delicious. It is also like 7%, so it's a sipper. You don't want to chug these bad boys. You'll be in a world of hurt after the second one for sure. But good stuff there. And Adnan, I know you were pouring a drink before you came on. What do we got from you tonight?
Apple juice.
Apple juice. I love it. Yeah. Short, you know.
Yep. Short, sweet, you know, straight up apple. And I know you're saying not to chug it, but knowing our viewers, that sounds like it'll be a challenge.
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. See, I'm sure the donations are going to be flooding in any second now. I only have two, so that's as far as we can go tonight. That's my safety there. But we also had a donation from before we went live from Alex Foster. Thank you, Alex, with the $10. Say, Kevin and Adnan said they didn't want Rattler in the third, so I'm convinced that's why the Falcons drafted Penix in the first. I think this is their fault. Boo them, I say. Yeah, and then Joe Schmo says, I'll take a different route and cheer them. So, yes, whether you want to cheer or blame us, we gladly will take responsibility for this, you know, catastrophe or great, you know, whatever the opposite of catastrophe, great success, as Borat would say. We still don't know which one it is yet. So
I mean, look, I wish we had that sort of power. Like, you know, if I knew that whatever the Falcons were going to do was what, you know, I wanted or what I said on the show, that they would do the opposite, you know, I would selfishly use that power. But unfortunately, I don't think anyone from the front office watches the show yet, unless they do. Maybe they do.
Maybe they do. I mean, allegedly, you know, people definitely watch the show. I don't know if they watch it like every episode, but we're at least on the minds of people. Yes, we're definitely on the radar. Perhaps not always for the right reasons, but we're definitely on the radar. So, you know, hopefully they don't listen to our takes too much. You know, maybe just a little dash of our takes in there just to get it in the mix. But, you know, Creed Humphrey, that was one that I still stand by. I still stand by our Creed Humphrey takes for sure. But
yeah, it's we'll know for sure if and when we don't get our credentials approved for training camp.
We'll know we've crossed the line. Yes, it's like, okay, we got to back off. It's too hot. We're getting too hot in here. So
we'll know for a fact that they're following our takes at that point.
Yeah, yeah, it could be very dicey. But yeah, guys, thanks for tuning in. We're going to get to this Falcons roster, kind of going a little bit deeper on that stuff. I know the big like topic du jour before we dive into like the roster analysis stuff has been, you know, the rumor slash report. I don't know. It depends on how seriously you take it about, you know, why Kirk Cousins came to Atlanta and like the irony of that, which basically the story goes that, you know, Kirk mainly left Minnesota because the Vikings were telling him they were going to draft his successor, which, you know, and that he didn't want that as part of his, I guess, playing, you know. Me personally, I sort of feel like that's probably not the case. You know, I feel like the money and the guarantees were more of what he cared about. But I'm curious what you think about that, Adnan, if the fact that Minnesota was maybe open about drafting his successor was a part of his decision to come to Atlanta.
I mean, I don't think that that's, you know, a huge... I don't think that was like the big thing. Not the way that some reports are making it out to be, or that some people are making it out to be in making that connection with Minnesota having told him that, that they were probably going to draft a quarterback, because we already have a report, right? I think it was that, was it Sports Illustrated? But there was a story that came out shortly after the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins that sort of dived into some of the specifics about those contract negotiations. And the big plus for the Falcons, the big game changer for the Falcons was they made that entire second year guaranteed. And they even gave him some guarantees going into that third year. Remember, the structure of the contract was before that second year even begins, they give him that $10 million roster bonus guaranteed for the third season. So that's the biggest reason why Kirk Cousins signed with the Falcons, not the Vikings, is because the Vikings would not structure him a deal in the way the Falcons structured the deal, where, you know, for a fact, the next 2 years belong to Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, no matter what.
Yeah.
It's pretty much not feasible for the Falcons to, you know, cut ties with him until at least 2026. Meanwhile, the Vikings guarantees were sort of giving them that little bit of an out after next season if they wanted it. So yeah, that's the main reason why Kirk Cousins signed with the Falcons.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I think this is definitely overblown, you know, for clicks and drama. But like, I mean, I'm sure Cousins is not happy about this. Like, I mean, I have no doubt. But also, like, he got what he wanted contract wise. Like, he can't be like, oh, they bait and switched me. It's like you got the exact contract that you wanted. Apparently, my camera decided to freeze. Okay, it's freezing again. Weird. But anyway, I'm sure you guys can still hear me. At any rate, yes, like he got the contract that he wanted. And I think that's always been his biggest thing, like throughout his career, is that he wanted the financial security, and I don't blame him. I mean, that's what you should go for in this business, you know, because it is a business. And at the same time, he has to understand that, like, there's no telling what the team's going to do. I mean, like, if it wasn't this year, it was going to be next year. So it's like, I get being upset that, like, that it happened. Like, I don't blame him for that, but I also don't think this is something that's going to really, like, be a problem. I mean, I think Cousins is, I think, like, for a younger quarterback that was more like on the bubble, it might be more of a thing. I think for Cousins, he knows who he is. I don't think he's too terribly worried about losing his job to Michael Penix, not this year at least. And he's got the contract security, so even if he loses his job to Penix next year, that he's still going to be on the roster. Like, he's still getting his money. So there's not really a downside other than, you know, that he's got his feelings hurt a little bit. Maybe his pride hurt a little bit, but it's again, like, yes. And Joe, you raised an excellent point there, which is that there's no way he could have looked at this contract and came away thinking anything other than this is a 2-year contract essentially for me with two team options attached to it. And more than likely, if they do want to keep me, we're going to be, you know, tearing this up and doing an extension of some kind, not doing like, you know, that he was not going to play at that $57.5 million cap hit. I just really can't really see that happening. So I think this was always a 2-year thing. Yeah.
It would be the biggest cap hit in NFL history for a single season. It would surpass Patrick Mahomes' cap hit from this past season, which was, I think, in the mid 40s. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
I think,
like,
Dak is the most now. I think he's like 53.
Because he will be the most as of week one this year, as of, you know, the start of the season. I still believe that they're going to do something with his contract. Like, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, that would be bigger than Dak either way. But look, it's not a great look. You know, we know the semantics of it. And I know that some people say, oh, it doesn't matter. And I mean, sure, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't. But, you know, these agents do talk. You know, it's not a great look for, you know, future free agents for the Falcons, even though at the end of the day, money is money. That's the most important thing. But, you know, I feel like it's getting a little bit overblown here because, one, nobody was giving Kirk Cousins more guaranteed than the Falcons were regarding number of years. Like, I don't think anyone was pounding, beating at his door to give him 3+ years guaranteed at this sort of money that Atlanta gave him. And the other thing is Kirk Cousins is a professional.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, like, yeah, it's a bad look on draft night. It is, you know, bad semantics, but, you know, Kirk Cousins knows who he is as a quarterback in this league. And Kirk Cousins is one of those, he's one of those guys where throughout everything that you've heard, all reports, you know, from all of his teammates, he's a very well-liked guy in NFL circles, a very well-liked guy in locker rooms. And he's, you know, he's one of those leader of men at the quarterback position. And he's not going to be someone that really, you know, lets this interfere with his job of leading a locker room. And it won't interfere. It won't make him so pissy that it interferes with his job as this team's quarterback, which is a job that he will have over the next 2 years. I think he will, you know, do a good job, or he will do his best of mentoring Michael Penix. He doesn't come off as that arrogant Rodgers type.
Mm-hmm. I think he can't help it. Like, he's just a nice guy, I think, at his
core. Like, he's genuinely a really nice dude. And I think that was one of the, you know, pieces of lore for the Falcons with him, in addition to, you know, being a hell of a quarterback as well. But yeah, Kirk Cousins is a professional. Like, none of this is really going to matter regarding Kirk Cousins' feelings come training camp. None of this is going to matter come week one. Kirk Cousins is going to be out there. He is the face of the franchise for the next couple of years. After that, you know, we'll see. Who knows what's going to happen over the next couple of years, but this is Kirk's team, and he's too professional to let this interfere, to let, you know, hurt feelings interfere with what he's got going on with LA.
Yeah, I think he's got the drive to win, and I think that's the thing. Like, if this team's winning football games, no one's going to care. And if they start losing, then that's very different. Like, then the drama could get ratcheted up real fast. But it's just one of those things. You know, it's obviously you would rather not do that to him. I don't love that it happened this way, but this is clearly what the team wanted. They clearly made the decision that they wanted to get Michael Penix, you know, regardless of anything else. So, you know, I think that's part of the reason they signed Kirk, is because they believed that he could handle it, that it wasn't going to break him mentally, and it wasn't going to cause a team rift, because that's the type of player that Kirk is. And, you know, he's just got a lot of experience dealing with the business side of the NFL. I think he understands it probably better than most players do. So I don't imagine it will be too much of a problem, as long as the Falcons are winning reasonably. If they stop winning, then anything can happen in terms of the drama and stuff coming off the rails. But
and I mean, Kirk Cousins was sort of not exactly on the opposite end, but sort of. Like, remember, he was drafted the same year as RG3. Mm-hmm. Not many people remember, but Washington took both of those guys.
Yes.
You know, the same year of the draft. Kirk was a fifth round pick, one of those very rare day three quarterbacks that really, like, becomes a home run. And he ended up taking Robert Griffin's job, you know, over time. So, you know, I just find it hard to believe that an NFL veteran like Kirk Cousins isn't privy to the way that, you know, the NFL works and to the business of the NFL, especially the quarterback position. It's like, I get, like, you know, who, he's not happy about it. He's not happy about the draft pick. Sure, we're not happy about the draft pick, let alone Kirk Cousins. But it's like, you know, it won't matter a few months from now. It's just more of a story now, because we don't really have much to talk about. Like, you know, if this story comes out, or, you know, in July, in August, it's like, it's more so susceptible to the 24-hour news cycle than, you know, what comes next. Basically, it's like, let's get this NFL schedule, like, on the way, and then we can move on and start, you know, to talk about something else.
Yeah, let's get rookie minicamp. Let's get some takes about actual football. Let's see the rookie jersey numbers. Get to the stuff that really matters, you know. But, I agree with that. I think it's all overblown. It's a slow part of the season, you know, and look, for better or worse, the Falcons are actually in the media. People are talking about them. So that's not something we usually get, especially this time of year, especially basically since Matt Ryan left the building. We just don't get talked about ever. So, I think it's overblown. And, you know, on the note of, like, just a real quick side note, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, but can we stop with the, like, whole, like, true fan gatekeeping nonsense? Like, if you like the Penix pick or you hate the Penix pick, if you like the draft or you hate the draft, that doesn't affect whether you're a fan of the Atlanta Falcons. If you don't like the pick, it doesn't make you not a fan. Like, you can have an opinion on the draft that's not positive and still be a fan. So let's just stop with all the fan gatekeeping. It's lame, you know. Like, you could be an absolute hater and still be a fan of the Falcons. Like, you could be an absolute homer or an absolute hater. That's up to you. Like, you can be a fan however you want. That there's not really rules around it. Doesn't make you, you know, I prefer more like the homer end of the spectrum to the hater end, but I guess that's up to you to decide. But, you know, it's just it's lame. I don't like that sort of stuff being thrown around, whether it's directed at, you know, it's mostly directed at other fans, like people that I think have been criticizing the draft. And it's, you know, that's their right as fans. They don't have to love the draft. Like, it doesn't make them a hater, you know.
You don't have to love every single thing this team does.
No. Now, like, if you're cheering for them to lose, I think maybe that's more about, like, maybe you're really not a fan at that point. Like, I don't know how you could do that, but, you know.
Yeah, if you're I mean, if you care more about being right than the team's success, that's that may be different. But yeah, like this team, I don't think this team really has that track record of success over the past few years, where it's like everything that they do is just infallible. Like, I feel like there is some franchises that sort of, at certain points, maybe you reach that level, not like straight infallibility, but, you know, let's say the, you know, Tom Brady Patriots were, you know, straight dynasty. They win 6 Super Bowls. It's like, okay, yeah, you know, if I'm a Patriots fan in those early to mid 2000s, I'm like, you know what? Well, I'll just completely shut up because they probably know better than me. You know, the Chiefs the past few years, but I mean, the Falcons are going on what? This is going to be year 7. If they don't make the playoffs, it'll be 7 years in a row. So yeah, it's just because the team does something doesn't mean you have to completely agree with it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, prove it to me. Prove that you know, are going to be successful with this. Like,
right.
I don't think Terry Fontenot's done anything to warrant just like the, a level of infallibility where whatever he does just can't be questioned. And Raheem Morris just got here. He's brand new. But yeah, it's like this team has had 3 straight 7-1 seasons with Arthur Blank. They've had 2 winning seasons since 2012. Let's have a few years of success, and then it's like, okay, you guys are at that point establishing that ethos of, yeah, like, I'm not questioning that they know better than we do, but at the same time, it's like, you know, just because I disagree with you doesn't mean that I'm just automatically wrong just because you're my favorite team.
Yeah, especially with like I think we can have a conversation about Fontenot that's nuanced, because I think there are some things that Fontenot has really excelled at, like free agency. I think he's knocked it out of the park most of the time. I think his big signings have pretty much all panned out. You know, convincing Calais Campbell to come here was a huge thing. You know, I think Jesse Bates, David Onyemata, his biggest signings have basically been home runs, especially Bates, who's probably going to be a cornerstone of this defense for the foreseeable future. You know, obviously the trades for wide receivers in particular have not worked out yet. Not that any of them have been overly expensive, so it's not like we're talking about huge resources. So maybe Rondale Moore will buck the trend, you know, of the bad receiver trades. But, you know, I think if you want to criticize Fontenot, you point to his day 2 draft record and say, like, what, like, we have nowhere near enough from day 2 in 3, now 4 draft classes. And, you know, I think Matthew Bergeron, very, very promising, right? You know, I think he's got a lot of hope around him. You know, obviously, Troy Andersen, the sort of the book's still out because we haven't really gotten to see much from him with him missing all of last year. Zach Harrison looks intriguing. But like 2021, Jalen Mayfield's out of the NFL, basically. And that was your second round pick. And or he was a third round pick. Richie Grant also potentially on the way out. You know, we'll see. And like Ebikadie, I still have like hope for Ebikadie and for D'Angelo Malone, especially in this defense. But again, it's like we've got like 1 starter so far out of 4. Well, we won't count this year yet because we don't know. Out of 3 drafts with like multiple day 2 picks in each one, sometimes 3, we have 1 starter in Matthew Bergeron so far. That's not enough after 3 draft classes. Now maybe Ebikadie will take the next step, you know, maybe Troy Andersen, now that he's healthy, will take on a starting role, whatever. But you know, he needs to do more on day 2. Like that those are key picks. You got to start hitting some of those, because that's, I think, where we're missing. You need those day 2 picks to start hitting to help fill out your roster. And that kind of leads us naturally into our conversation about, you know, what are the holes on the roster? And some of those have to do with missing on the day 2 picks. But, and I think, you know, Mad Tom K, just finishing off the Kirk conversation with the $5. Thank you, Mad, said, I don't think any of us can blame Kirk for being upset in the moment. All of us were upset in the moment, at the very least. Yes, I mean, absolutely. So, like, I don't, it's like a very typical human reaction to be sort of floored at that point. I know we were, certainly.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But, yeah, Mad, for whatever reason, the Super Chats, they take, like, a few minutes to go through for them to show up, like, on the video. They usually show up on YouTube pretty quick, but they just take a minute to go through on the video for some reason. I don't really know why, but, we got Corey with the $2 asking, would either of you ever participate in a roast? And if the answer is yes, can I get a few minutes? So maybe we'll do like a patron exclusive show. It'll be like the roast of the Falcoholic. We could all take turns going at each other in the roast. That might be fun, actually. We'll look into that, Corey. I know George Costanza would like get probably the biggest time slot in that, you know, just to just really, you know, complain probably about a lot of draft picks. Speaking of George, we had a donation from George with the two saying, look, if the Falcons really wanted to go all in for the next 2 years, the only player that was there at eight that would have greatly moved the needle would have been Brock Bowers. Fans would have hated it, but there's no one in the NFC that could stop that offense. So, George is, he's not giving up on Brock Bowers, Adnan, so I respect it.
He's not. He's crusading. You know, go Dogs. It would have filled the dog quota early. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, then we wouldn't have had to wait until very late day three to see if
we were sweating it out. Yeah.
Well, we needed to see if the draft was even going to register or not, because mm-hmm. you know, unofficial rules are, the whole thing would have had to start back over from that Thursday. And at that point we had been streaming for like 13 hours.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah. You know, that would have all been for nothing if the Falcons didn't grab a dog.
Yeah.
You know, but they did. So, you know, it worked out, but yeah, it's, you know, Falcons could have really cornered the market on those generational tight ends coming out of the SEC there.
Yeah. So, no, I think it's definitely, you know, I like Bowers, George. I'm interested to see what he does for the Raiders, because they basically took that approach where they're like, well, we don't have a quarterback, but we're taking a tight end. So they're going kind of the Kyle Pitts route with that. Obviously getting him at 13 helps as opposed to four, but, you know, we're not going to linger on that sentiment, but let's get to this roster, because I was going over, I've got my 53-man projection pretty much done, as long as they don't sign anyone between today and tomorrow. I guess I can't rule that out, but basically, like, I was taking a look at the roster and kind of just was surprised by the depth at some spots, and also like really impressed with the depth in some other positions. But, you know, I was going to open the floor to you first on, is there a particular position group that you like think of as being like, we need to add, like, we can't go into training camp or the season with this group in its current shape? Like, is there any particular group that you're kind of focused on at this point?
Yeah, you can look along the secondary, honestly. That was one of my biggest criticisms regarding the draft, just because, yeah, you know, one of the criticisms was the team didn't address the secondary at all. And I mean, remember, we went into it saying this is a big, you know, need, both cornerback and safety, when I say the secondary. And in our mocks, we were mocking, you know, second round, we would go right to a secondary player, you know, almost without hesitancy, with no hesitation. The team addressed secondary with Antonio Hamilton and Kevin King, but those aren't really, you know, actual fixes. We don't even know if either of those guys will make the 53-man roster coming out of training camp. Kevin King hasn't played since, what, 2021?
Yeah.
And even when he was playing, he wasn't a world beater over in Green Bay. Hamilton, I think, could be, you know, solid secondary.
Yeah. I like that addition. Yeah.
But, you know, we look at safety. Right now, Richie Grant is your starting strong safety. I think
it's DeMarco Helms, personally.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
it's DeMarco Helms season. Yeah,
but even DeMarco Helms, like, I don't know how comfortable I feel about, you know, him being. I really like DeMarco Helms as a depth piece. Like him as a. Yeah, I think he can be one of the better depth safeties in the NFL. But as a starting strong safety, I mean, he will need to make you know, a huge, you'll have to make some huge strides to be a pretty good, strong safety, you know, particularly when it comes to the coverage. We saw Richie Grant get roasted many times over last year. If I told you that we'd likely have Richie Grant as our week one starter at the end of last season, I think we would all say, ew, like, you know, that's not great. And then when it comes to cornerback, right now, Clark Phillips is, you know, competing with maybe D. Alford and Mike Hughes for that starting outside slot. I don't feel great about any of those guys being the starter on the outside. I like Clark Phillips. You know, I still like Clark Phillips. I do think that his strongest position at the NFL level will be on the inside. We saw some of the disadvantages when it comes to his height, you know, at times last year. Particularly, I remember that New Orleans game still stands out, where he was pretty much abused because of the lack of height. But I still really like Phillips. You know, I think he will have a very successful NFL career, maybe just not as a starter on the outside. Well, you know, we all like D. Alford, Mike Hughes, you know, next question. But I'm just looking at it. What if one of these cornerbacks goes down? Also is the other thing. This isn't a deep group, like, at all. And this is, I think, one of the weaker groups in the NFL when everyone is fully healthy. And there's just no guarantee that everyone's going to be fully healthy across, you know, all 17. You know, this is the NFL. What if AJ Terrell has to go down for like a game or two? We're starting Clark Phillips and D. Alford on the outside. I think that would arguably be the worst starting cornerback pairing in the NFL. So yeah, it's just I feel very uneasy about this secondary as a whole. I like Terrell. I like Jesse Bates, obviously. But then after that, the questions really start lingering, and I'm looking back and I'm like, we really didn't, you know, address this like at all, not even with one pick. And we had, what, 3 day 2 picks, and then all of the rest of our picks will swap a 7th for a 6th. But yeah, like, yeah. Not one pick. It just seems a bit baffling to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the easy answer is that this coaching staff seems to have an enormous amount of trust in Clark Phillips, D. Alford, and Mike Hughes to be their starters and primary depth pieces. Like, they seem to have complete faith in that trio. And, like, I have plenty of faith in D. Alford. Like, I think D. Alford should be the slot starter without question. I really don't think he should even... I mean, of course, if, like, he should, like, have, like, yeah, if Mike Hughes wants to compete there, that's fine. But I still can't believe that Alford was benched for Mike Hughes in the first place. Like, the secondary got noticeably worse when that happened. The team still continued to do it anyway and said something about Mike Hughes was a better run defender, which did not bear itself out in the stats, by the way. So I don't really understand that. But, like, the outside corner spot is just a complete question mark, because I like Clark Phillips. I like the highs that we saw, but we also saw some lows. And I think that in this zone heavy outside, you know, he could have more success. Like, that could be a thing. And he's also going into his second year. There's a chance that Clark Phillips could be a starting cornerback too in the NFL. But I think betting on that to happen is dangerous. Like, and right now it's like they don't have a backup plan. Like, if Clark Phillips isn't the starter outside or is not good, then you're going to Antonio Hamilton, Kevin King. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Mike Hughes get work on the outside. I think his best play in the NFL has come outside when he played in Kansas City. Like, he actually had a very good season as an outside corner there in Kansas City. He's not been good in the slot. So, like, I think moving him outside might actually make some sense. But as it stands now, I like Clark Phillips, and I think he should have an opportunity to compete and win that job. But right now, it's like, if he doesn't pan out, now we're going to Antonio Hamilton, who I think is a solid sort of starter. Like, he did start, I think, at cornerback 2 for the Cardinals basically all year, and he was solid. But, like, I want to aim higher than that as, like, my starter. Like, if you're a solid starter as a quarterback too, like, you're probably getting burned a decent amount of the time, and that's not really forming the basis of a dominant secondary. Like, you want more from your corner too. I love Antonio Hamilton as, like, the fourth corner. You know, I think he can be a very good depth piece. Like, if he has to come in as a backup, you feel pretty good about that. But, like, this is the one, to me, like, cornerback and safety, just like you said. I think those are the two where it's like, we really got to add something here. Like, because it's just, otherwise you're just placing these massive bets on these players rounding into form and becoming starters that we just haven't really seen. Like, again, Clark Phillips, I think, deserves a chance. So, you know, I'm fine with giving him a chance, but given who's out there in free agency, like, I think you would be doing yourself a disservice to not add another veteran at corner and at safety. Like, you don't have to go crazy expensive with it, but, like, Akello Witherspoon, I mean, we talked about this a million times. We know he fits the system. He has all the experience. He was making $1 million last year. Does he probably want more than $1 million this year? Probably. But, like, are you going to have to break the bank for Akello Witherspoon? No. Like, he's still out there. Clearly, no one's, like, lining up to sign him. I think he's somewhat limited, and I think he's a really good fit for this scheme. But the reason he hasn't signed anywhere else is because I think he's kind of specialized and a good fit for this scheme. He's also 29 years old, so it's like, you know, he's more of a stopgap guy. So I'm totally fine with just – I think if you just add Witherspoon to this room, you're like, I think it's sort of like, okay, problem solved. Like, it's not even like you have to go out and sign, you know, the top cornerback in free agency, or go gamble on Patrick Peterson or Steven Nelson or Stephon Gilmore or one of these, like, high end potential guys. Like, no, just go for someone like an Akello Witherspoon that, you know, is a reliable guy that held down. He played 93% of the snaps for the Rams last year, held it down, was reliable. You can trust him. And, like, maybe you do love Clark Phillips. So if Akello Witherspoon's your backup corner, you're doing great. Like, you're in great shape. So, like, that's just the thing with me, and I think it's even more, and we'll see. Like, they have plenty of time to add also. Like, this is our thoughts on their needs as they stand right now. Like, rookie minicamp hasn't even happened yet. So, like, they still have plenty of time to add. This is just in the context of what they haven't done yet. But, like, if they go into camp with, like, this group at corner, like, this is just so risky. Like, are you really trying to convince me that you're trying to win and actually thinking that you're going to go far in the playoffs if you're going to take this big of a risk with your depth too? And, like, again, this could definitely change over the next month, 2 months, whatever, before, until we get to training camp. It's just like, at this stage, it's like, it's very dicey at cornerback. Like, and you said it, like, at cornerback too, sure, it'd be great if Clark Phillips becomes a starter. I'm down. I love Clark Phillips. We loved the pick last year. He showed flashes, so maybe he rounds into form and can handle it. But if he doesn't, or he gets hurt, let's say he looks great and then he gets hurt, like, now you're starting Antonio Hamilton, and it's like, you know, I don't know why you wouldn't make this move. And they may still do it. Like, we're just talking about what the holes are right now, and that's at corner.
And the thing is, like, remember last year the Falcons didn't exactly run a gauntlet of great quarterbacks on the schedule. There was a lot of, you know, very young players, and, you know, a lot of mid-tier players. The Falcons will have to face some, you know, very, very good quarterbacks this year. You know, you will have Mahomes on the schedule. You will have Justin Herbert on the schedule. So, you know, it's one of those things where really good quarterbacks will sort of be able to abuse those weak links in the secondary. And, I mean, we even saw it with the quarterback who was solid last year, but not, you know, not upper echelon quarterback in Baker Mayfield in that matchup in Atlanta. Remember, he was sort of abusing Richie Grant over the middle. You know, good quarterbacks will identify those weak links. And I mean, I hope I'm wrong right now, but it seems like the Falcons will have, you know, sort of more than one weak link in its secondary as it stands today. Now, of course, like you said, right now it's May. You know, it's May 8th. We can only talk about what we can talk about. Like, we don't know what this team's going to look like come beginning of training camp. Hopefully they will have made some of those additions. But, you know, what we have to, you know, we have to talk about the team right now. Like, we have to build a show. We have to, you know, discuss what's going on right now. And right now, you know, I think both of us are a little bit uneasy when it comes to, you know, both cornerback and safety. Like, you know, DeMarco Helms going into this season, it'll be a roll of the dice if he, you know, if you're banking on him taking these strides and being that starting, you know, strong safety and a successful starting strong safety in the NFL. Like, hopefully he will be.
Yeah,
but, you know, are you really sort of willing to bank, you know, bank your season on that, on both that and the cornerbacks? Now, when it comes to making some of these, signings, right now the Falcons have just enough money to sign their draft class.
Yep.
If the Falcons want to make any of these signings, they're going to have to clear some cap. And we know that Fontenot has been incredibly reluctant to, restructure any contracts, throw any contracts, to kick the can down the road. It almost feels like my working theory is that he sort of has PTSD from being a part of that New Orleans system and just seeing, you know, that dead cap, you know, hit you year after year after year. And like, sort of, what was the saying, robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Yep.
And, you know, we've seen the ramifications of it with New Orleans, you know, especially in recent years. And as much as their fans want to scream that the cap doesn't matter, like, what we have seen it, you know, hurt their team, hurt their roster building abilities over the past few years. So, you know, if the Falcons don't want to restructure, Ade Ogundeji would be a $3 million, you know, savings if you cut him. If you do want to look toward possibly parting ways with Richie Grant, that's another 3.9. That's $7 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Those are just sort of names to look out for in the future. Maybe it doesn't have to be right now, but between now and week one, there are some guys whom the Falcons have the opportunity to open some cap space by releasing if they don't want to go that route of restructuring, which I don't know if they will want to, just given the fact that they want to, you know, have their cake now and later. So they're not really going all in. But also at the same time, there's the AJ Terrell contract. They could extend him. They could lower that cap hit for this season. So there's a number of different avenues, but right now the Falcons will absolutely have to make some corresponding moves before they signed anyone in free agency, either now or in August.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing with, like, you know, they could create the cap. Like, that. I know you look at the cap number and you're like, oh, well, they got to sign their draft class. And it's like, yes, that's all correct. So, like, they have exactly, and I have to think this is intentional, they have basically exactly enough money to sign their draft class as it currently stands. And, you know, at this stage, that's all they can do. They do have lots of opportunities to create cap space. One of those, would the easiest one arguably, would be to just extend AJ Terrell. It seems like he's going to be part of their future. They didn't really make any moves that make you think that they can afford to let him walk next year. They didn't really address cornerback in any meaningful way this offseason. So it seems like AJ Terrell is part of their future plans. And if he is, you might as well extend him, because right now he's $12 million against the cap. They could clear almost $9 million if they, like, maximize that extension. I don't know that they would bother doing that, but they could at least make some room with that. You know, there's also the cuts that could come to some players. You know, you mentioned Richie Grant. I have a hard time thinking they're going to move on from most of these guys before camp. But, you know, like, Richie Grant's $3 million. Mike Hughes, over $3 million. Ade Ogundeji, another $3 million. Like, they could clear, you know, this could be like where they go for their emergency cap space to carry into the season. Like, if they end up moving on from a couple of those guys, that could be the $6 or $7 million they typically like to carry into the season. And, you know, that's fine. That's a reasonable way to get space. But they could also, you know, they could restructure a number of contracts, right? Like, they could restructure Jake Matthews for almost $10 million. They could restructure Lindstrom for almost $9 million. Like, these are guys that are, especially Lindstrom, that, like, you can probably move money around because you're not worried about cutting these guys anytime soon. So, you know, obviously they could get $8 million from Jesse Bates. You know, obviously they're probably not going to touch Grady Jarrett or David Onyemata or Caleb McGarry, because those guys are potentially on the way out, or like one or multiple of them could be on the way out. So they're probably not going to move on there. But they've got money and they can make it pretty easily. So, you know, at safety, like we've talked about, again, this is not something you haven't heard before, but like John Johnson played, I think like, I don't know, it was like 60%, I think it was like 50% of the snaps for the Rams last year, just filled in for them and has played a lot over the years for the Rams, has done a lot, obviously fits in the scheme, obviously has the experience. So it's like, oh, well, I don't know why you wouldn't just bring him in. He was also making $1 million last year. Like, that's all he was making. So not someone that would be likely to break the bank. You know, I guess I could see if they're trying to, like, I don't blame them. Like, I don't think they're going to make any moves prior to rookie minicamp. I think they want to see how these rookies look, how these undrafted guys look. They often will have some veterans try out at rookie minicamp, too. We'll see if we get any reports on that. That's next week, by the way. May 10th through 12th is the Falcons rookie minicamp. So we'll see. But, like, you know, even if it's not John Johnson, there's so many safeties out there that could be contributors. Like, you don't need to go for, you know, if you want to go expensive, you could go up to, you know, Justin Simmons or Eddie Jackson or one of these, like, really high-end safeties, you know, and those guys are in their early 30s, but, like, they're impact players. Like, you know, it's just, this is part of the reason that you wonder, like, how serious are you about winning this year? If you have all this money you can make and you're just like leaving these big question marks, like who's starting next to Jesse Bates? Like you said, are we really trusting Richie Grant to do it? Like, I get that, you know, he did look better in the DNP's defense, which is closer to what they're going to be playing here. But like, are we really placing our bet on Richie Grant? Or like DeMarco Helms, I think we know he's a good box safety, very good box safety. And honestly, in this scheme, you're going to be relying on one of your safeties to be an impact run defender. And DeMarco Helms can do that. So maybe he's a good fit for that. But like, are you convinced enough? Are you convinced enough to take that risk and not bring in anyone else? And
that's where that's where we go back to that conversation on draft day of it's very hard, borderline impossible to sort of have your cake and eat it too of, oh, we're going to win now and win later. Like, okay. That sounds amazing in theory. Like, obviously we all want to do that. Like that's perfect. Like, awesome. Like, you know, we're going to win now and we're going to continue to win and we're going to establish this, you know, 1990s Braves like run where we just win the division 14 years in a row and hopefully more than one title. But you know, feasibly it doesn't really.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It doesn't really work out that way because you sort of, you know, have to be really successful. You have to commit to, a path. Like, and if you are looking with an eye toward the future, you're capping the ceiling of this team as it is right now, by, you know, like you said, not making any of those restructures and, you know, wanting to wait until later to have more cap space later on, possibly when Michael Penix, you know, starts, it becomes a starter, starts coming into his own, and you want to build that team as strong as it can be around Michael Penix. But if you have that strategy, then you're sort of cutting yourself off at the knees right now with this Kirk Cousins team over the next couple of years, because if you're going to go into the season with this number of holes, then you're not really committing to winning now. You're sort of taking that half measure approach, like, you know, you're a little bit in, a little bit out right now and later on, as opposed to, you know, diving in, either winning later or winning now. And there's a reason why, you know, more teams don't just, you know, decide, oh, we're going to win now and win later. Like, obviously that's always the goal, but you know, there's a reason why it doesn't really work out that way. And there's a reason why teams, you know, sort of go all in either now or later. Like, you have to have that strategy in place. And it just feels very, very restrictive you know, you're going to sacrifice something. You have to sacrifice something. That's just the way that this league works. And that's just the way that, you know, the collective bargaining agreement is in place for. The only sport sort of where you can get away with it maybe is baseball, where there is no salary cap. And if your owner is just, you know, that committed to it, he can just keep paying and keep paying and keep paying. And, you know, that then, you know, it's perfect and it's great. But in a league with salary cap restrictions, it's just so difficult to do both.
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, and again, like, I want to emphasize, like, we're talking about the roster holes now. This could be different when it comes to training camp, absolutely. But like,
this is as of May 8th, like,
yes,
the video mark this, you know, right yes. now as of May 8th, like, and, you know, it is fair for us to bring up these concerns because they are concerns of the team right now.
Yeah, these are the roster holes that remain for the Falcons. That's the title of the episode. That's what we're talking about. But I do want to give them credit for some of the positions that have been improved, like particularly the interior defensive line. And this one, I think it was obvious when they took three in the draft. It was like, oh my God, wow, we're really going all in on the interior defensive line. But like trying to make the 53-man roster and going through the interior guys, like I kept six interior defensive linemen, and usually they keep five. And like I still had to cut like three guys that I would have liked to keep. And like you look at this group, like I kept, like these are the guys I kept, like Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, non-negotiable, obviously. Ruka Roro and Brandon Dorlus, you're not cutting your two primary, you know, picks. Zach Harrison, I can't see them moving on from him. Now, I don't know, he might stay on the edge. I think we all sort of think he's going to be more of that 3-4 defensive end, but he might stay on the edge, so you could possibly move him up to edge. But and then like the nose tackle is the last spot. And that's like, I have Zion Logue there because I don't trust Eddie Goldman's going to make it to training camp, but it could be Eddie Goldman. But like
Eddie Goldman is not making it to week one. Like,
yeah.
I will be shocked if Eddie, and this is
fool
nothing
me twice, against, you know,
this is nothing against Eddie Goldman.
No, I like Eddie Goldman. Yeah. I'd love it if he did. Yeah.
This is just, you retired twice. Like, you know, it's like you can fool me once. Sure. You're not fooling me three times. Like, you know, I'll talk about that possibility when we are week one and you're on the 53-man roster still, you know, still planning on playing this year. So, you know, Eddie Goldman is just, yeah, it's just a conundrum when it comes to Eddie Goldman right now. It is entertaining as hell, though.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, I mean, I don't trust that, but it's like, if you keep that group, that's six guys, like, you realize that means we're cutting Taquan Graham, we're cutting Lakeo London, who was a good contributor last year, we're cutting Kentavious Street, like just for starters, like none of those guys are making this roster. And I think like if you told somebody that last year, like, oh, next year we're going to be cutting all of these guys like that are like contributing, like that would be shocking. But it's like that there's literally no room. And I don't love cutting Taquan Graham. I think this is going back to a scheme that maybe fits him well. So I would think that he will have a strong opportunity to compete, but it's like, you know, and obviously like as much as we hate it, like injuries will probably happen. We're probably going to lose someone on the interior to injury. And then at that point, right, like then somebody's going to get pushed up. So like that could open the door for one of these guys too. But like that group in particular, like it was a bit unorthodox considering how much we needed edge. But like you look at that group and I'm very impressed with like this, like I think this interior defensive line, like this should be what they hang their hat on this year and going forward. And I was impressed with that. Like, this is not something I'm used to with the Falcons, like roster projections is being like, there's like three guys in the defensive line that I don't want to cut. That's crazy. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, so that props to them for like, I think the interior will be a strength. And you know, that checks out if you know about like the way that this defense works, and I've been looking into it more and more. The interior is key to how this scheme is going to work. So it makes sense to me that they focus on it, but do want to give props for that.
I mean, in fairness, they did spend a lot of resources on it too.
They did, but
it's like your second or fourth rounders. It was just like, all right, we're going to drop, but you know, it was a need and it is, it will be, you know, really nice to have some serious pressure, some serious pass rush on the interior of the defensive line. Like, that's something that this team has sort of struggled with over the year. I mean, they've struggled with getting to the quarterback, period, by any means over the past 10 or so years, or since John Abraham was unceremoniously released before, while he still had a lot of juice left, at least another Pro Bowl season's worth of juice left. So, you know, shout out Thomas Dimitrov for that one. But it will be nice, and hopefully that's something where it will sort of help that secondary a little bit. We just talked about what the struggles within the secondary could be with some of those positions. But, you know, at the end of the day, no matter what, if this team can rush the passer consistently and if this team can put heat on the opposing quarterback, it'll make everyone's job in the secondary a lot easier, every single player, and it'll make everyone's job along the defense a lot easier as well. So it will start and finish with that. And if that's something the Falcons can hang their hat on, then that's absolutely great. It's something that, you know, we haven't really been able to hang our hat on in a very, very long time with that pass rush. And, you know, maybe some of those day two pass rushers that haven't really broken out will. Arnold Ebiketie, Zach Harrison. You know, they did address a pass rush this year as well with a Braylon Trice in the third round. So, you know, maybe one of those guys will, you know, break out and be that that alpha type of pass rusher that this team has also been lacking and looking for the past, you know, number of years as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I do want to clarify something, because I know I saw someone in the chat mention it. Braylon Trice did weigh in at the combine at 245. He played in the 270s. He's a big edge rusher. He got, I believe he said he got the flu like right before the combine and dropped like way more weight than he was expecting. Like, he was trying to cut weight to get to like 260-ish for the combine for the testing. He ended up dropping like way more weight because of the flu. He was sick, but he played at Washington in like the 270s. So like, he's going to get back up to that weight. So he's not a smaller, he's a bigger power rusher. Even though he stands up, like, he's a straight line, mostly power style rusher. He's bigger. Yeah, it was apparently really bad for, I mean, I didn't ask for any details on that, but apparently it was very bad and lost a lot of weight. I think he was already trying to cut weight, so that plus the sickness was not a good recipe for holding weight, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, I like the Braylon Trice pick. I like the Rukurororo pick. I don't like the trade up. I like a Rukurororo, and I like Brandon Dorlus. And I think if you can get those guys to all three hit, then you're going to be really in good shape, right? More likely, like, one will hit. If you're lucky, maybe two. If all three hit, then you're really in good shape. But, like, you know, I think they're trying to build this defensive line inside out. And I know that's not what fans want, considering the state of the edge room. At least they did add an edge rusher. But yeah, I mean, we're banking a lot on the Arnold Ebiketie turnaround and him being more than just designated pass rusher. And like, Ebiketie had 6 sacks last year. Like, don't forget, like, he did.
He came on toward the end of the season.
He did.
And I think yeah, that sort of played a part in the team not, I mean, I don't want to say they didn't value edge rusher, because obviously they did. They tried to trade back up for Laiatu, by, you know, all reports. You know, Terry Fontenot couldn't stop talking about it the next day. But, you know, it will be great if, you know, if Ebiketie can break out, like I just said. But, it just runs that risk a little bit of, you know, we are banking on this, and we really are banking on player development at many spots. And these are, you know, unproven players as of this moment, and hopefully they all hit. Hopefully Clark Phillips takes a leap. Hopefully DeMarco Helms takes a leap. Hopefully Arnold Ebiketie takes a leap. You know,
this is a lot of leaps. This is a lot of leaps we're taking.
We're taking a lot of leaps. Yeah, yeah. We're on the moon right now.
A leap of faith, perhaps. Yeah.
We're on the moon right now. Yeah, you know, it's just anti-gravity right now in Flowery Branch. But yeah, I mean, if all of that happens, then, you know, this entire conversation is moot, because any veteran that you bring in will probably be a backup at that point anyway. And, you know, if all of those leaps do happen, then this team, I think, will, I can very comfortably say, is probably going to make some serious noise, you know, will win the division and make some noise in the playoffs, and then will be absolutely set moving forward. But it is a risk. It's a very, very high risk. It's a massive, massive risk to, you know, you're gambling right now. You're rolling the dice. And they obviously think very highly of their, you know, abilities to development abilities. So we'll see how strong those abilities are this year. Because yeah, if some of those leaps don't happen and there's some regression or there's some injury, then, you know, we'll, at the roster as it is right now, we will be left sort of holding the bag and being like, man, that's a number of weaknesses along this defense. And this defense will absolutely, you know, probably regress from last season at that point.
Yeah. No, I think regression on defense is coming. I think everyone should prepare for it. Like, I think this defense overperformed last year. They played an easy schedule.
But it depends on how much of a regression.
Yes, exactly. Like,
and we saw it toward the end of last season as well. Like, the defense already started regressing at the end of last season.
Yeah.
It definitely played above its head, but, you know, is this going to be a serious regression, or is it going to be a smaller regression, is the question right now. And if it's a serious regression, then, you know, then it's going to get uncomfortable. It may start to get uncomfortable throughout the regular season.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that turns out. You know, this team, man. Oh, this damn team. Yeah, no, I'm reading the chat too, guys. But there's a lot of bets being placed on this team, and that's why I keep coming away with, like, this team isn't really trying to maximize. Like, and I think it's pretty clear that they're not trying to maximize. That doesn't mean they're not trying to win, but I think they're wanting to see what they've got from their young players, which is fine. I think they are wanting to see if they can find some diamonds in the rough. I think they're willing to take more chances with young players and not necessarily filling up the team with veterans, because they know, like, they're going to need some of these young players to hit. They can't afford to just stock the cupboard with veterans. And we'll see, like, rookie minicamp, we'll probably see some moves after that, right? Like, we'll see if they like any of these UDFAs. We'll see if they like any of the tryout players. If they don't, that they might move to sign some of these veteran guys that we talked about. And we'll see. But at this stage, you know, obviously, I think the secondary is the one that we would say is the big need. You know, I think they could use another veteran wide receiver, but, like, again, it's not as drastic, right? I mean, I think if you look at the way that things are for the Falcons at the secondary, it's nowhere near as drastic. And at wide receiver, I mean, you're not really getting a huge needle mover at this point in free agency either. You know, if the Rams didn't, as far as I know, re-sign, you know, Falcons legend Austin Trammell. So maybe we could get an Austin Trammell reunion. Adnan, he's my guy. I haven't given up.
Hey, never forget that one. Was it training camp where Austin Trammell looked like the best player on the field when it was just Schwartz out there?
I still believe. Like,
hey, Austin Trammell was hooping before the pads came on. So, yeah. You know, those it is fun to just see that progression of, you know, who looks really good, you know, before the pads, and then who looks really good when it comes to some contact, and just, you know, who starts falling off, who starts rising to the top a little bit. So, you know, you just mentioning Austin Trammell, it just makes me like, you know what, I can't wait for training camp. You know, shout out to all those, you know, past training camp legends of before. Austin Trammell,
yes.
Shout out to Bernard Reedy. Yeah, you know, didn't think we'd get a Bernard Reedy, like, shout out in this one. You know, number 7, the speed out there at wide receiver. You know, shout out to my guy Penny Hart last year. You know, I can't wait to see that, what that wide receiver battle looks like as well.
Yeah. No, I mean, shout out to Auden Tate, you know, early training camp legend that was cut, like, before, like, the second preseason game. Shout out.
Auden Tate looked so slow. Like,
he did.
I was just out there, like, yeah, he was a big body and stuff, but I was out there, like, man, is this dude moving in quicksand right now? Because you saw him just like compare it to everyone, to all the other receivers, and I'm like, yeah, this dude isn't going to make the team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was, yeah, the memories. But let me get to these donations. Thank you guys so much for that. We got George Sanza first with the $2. Thanks, George. He says, I think if everyone's honest, we've all missed on our day two picks. I was literally angry and fuming when they passed on Liam Eichenberg to take Richie Grant, but he hasn't done anything either. So basically, I don't know shit from apple butter. Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely haven't hit on all my picks either, George. So it's not a problem. Like we do this, you know, for fun. And we do this, you know, for it's mostly for entertainment. You know, obviously we try our best to predict what the team's going to do, but it's mostly for you guys. It's mostly for entertainment and for fun. And, you know, if we get the predictions right, that's nice, but that's not really.
But also, like, you know, the pressure isn't on us to hit on these picks, but also we're not making executive level salaries to make these picks. Like, we don't have the scouting the resources, the scouting, you know, the being able to go out and see all of these guys in person, you know, to where the pressure is on us. You know, we're not making the salaries of these GMs. So it is, it is like, you know, we do all miss, but it matters more if the GM is missing than if we're missing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the DM matters more than us. Absolutely. Our misses don't really matter. It wounds my pride like slightly, but that's about it. So we got Michael Scout, the $5. Any plans for another fan meetup / live show at training camp this year? Yes, Michael, I'm working on it. You know, I'll try to release details when I can. But yes, we would love to do another fan meetup live show. Probably at Sweetwater again. They were very excited to host us again this year. We'll have to work on the day and then time and all that and make sure that everything's set for that. But yes, I think that we will be trying to have another live show recording / meetup event at probably at Sweetwater. But if not, you know, probably somewhere else. Cool. I'm sure there's, I've got some ideas if Sweetwater backs out, you know, respect to them. But yeah, I think we're going to find a fun way to have a meetup for sure. We got George Stans again. The $2 says, what's made me so angry about this roster construction is the fact we gave up 79 to go up and get Rook. And with 79, we could have gotten Elijah James, and we might have still gotten Rook back at 43, given all the cornerbacks that went off the board. I mean, I didn't like giving up 79. I thought there were way too many good players there to give that pick up. I don't think Rook would have been there at 43. I think it's pretty clear that the defensive tackles were going to fly off the board. Now, do I think they should have just sat there and waited anyway? Yeah, I do. But, like, the Rams did one of the most expensive trade-ups in the second round in NFL history to get Braden Fisk, like, a few picks after the Falcons took Rook. So, like, teams were getting aggressive and getting desperate to take that tier of defensive tackles. They clearly viewed those guys as, like, this is the tier of guys. We want them. We're going to go up and get them right now. And we saw the Titans take Tavondre Sweat at like 38. I mean, clearly the NFL is way higher on these defensive tackles than the media was. So, and I've seen people with Rook in the top 50. Like, it's not, I don't think him being in that range was shocking. I think on the consensus board, he was like 63-ish, something like that. So, you know, a little bit early, but it's really hard to say like, oh, he would definitely have been there. There's some guys where you could probably say that, but like, I don't think that was likely in this case. I'm not comfortable saying, oh yeah, he definitely would have been there. I still would probably have not done the trade up and just taken my chances, but I'm not willing to say that he wouldn't have been there at 43.
Yeah, or that he would have been there. That was still a pretty valuable pick in the third. You know, I'm sure it was your late third rounder. That was still a day two pick. But yeah, I think this is, in my opinion, this is back-to-back years where the team, I think, should have just stayed put. And I know last year, like, we got Matthew Bergeron and everything, but the way that the board was shaping up both last year and this year, I think you could sort of interpret that there was going to be some serious value where the Falcons were picking in those early 40 slots. And, you know, sure, maybe you would have missed out on Rook, but, you know, maybe Cooper DeJean would have been there. You know, maybe Kool-Aid would have been there. You know, Tyler Newbin was definitely there. Last year, Brian Branch ended up being there. So there was definitely value. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Dora. I don't I wasn't a fan of that in the moment. I'm not a fan of that now. And then we saw with 79, DJ Dallas was there. Oh, not DJ Dallas, TJ Tampa. I got my my cities mixed up.
Yeah,
in those
the matches. Cities and two-letter, yeah. You know, first names
yeah.
mixed up.
Yeah, the cities and two-letter with J at the yep. end. And the cities which start with the same letter as the first letter. But, yeah, it's I'm definitely with you on that one. But, you know, they really liked Roop. They went up and got him. They got their guy. And, you know, we'll see how it turns out. But they have proven that they will be very aggressive in getting their guy in that second round.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder, you know, benefit of hindsight, like Brandon Dorlus falling to the fourth round makes it look worse because it's like, wow, like, isn't Brandon Dorlus like kind of like diet version of Rook? And like, the answer is yes, but I don't think anyone was expecting Dorlus to fall that far either. So it's, you can't really evaluate it like that. But we got Jason Gaines with the $2 says, Kevin, did you see Arthur Smith and the Steelers signed wide receiver Scotty Miller? Yes, I did. He said, what's with Arthur Smith and his sloppy fifths? Can't wait for Smith to use Miller as a fullback and wildcat quarterback. Yeah. You mean that's one thing I will say, like the fact that Arthur Smith is just going out and re-signing everyone he had in Atlanta that didn't work makes me think that they definitely made the right decision moving on from Arthur Smith, because like, I'm not seeing anything that's showing me that Arthur Smith has like learned from his mistakes in Atlanta. Like, it seems like they're just going to run it back in Pittsburgh. And it's like, is Russell Wilson and Justin Fields a better quarterback room than he had in Atlanta? Absolutely, yes. But, like,
he's definitely,
is that going to be enough?
I do think that sort of comes back to, and I mentioned it many times with Arthur Smith last year, especially toward the end. I think it goes back to that sort of ego of, it, you know, my scheme is superior. What I'm doing as an offensive coordinator, as a play caller, is superior to everything else. It's just the quarterback's fault. And I mean, the quarterback was his call. There's no way the Falcons would go into the last year with Desmond Ridder if Arthur Smith didn't completely sign off on that. And I mean, Terry Font knows well, that's what Arthur Blank told us directly in the press conference, that they were, you know, very confident in Desmond Ridder last year. But now it's sort of a, you know, with these moves, it shows that he's, you know, fully scapegoating Ridder and the quarterback position. And Ridder did have his, like, issues last year as well, for sure. But, yeah, it's just I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see how this works out. Arthur Smith, I think, was a great OC in Tennessee. Like, I think he was a fantastic offensive coordinator. But, you know, now it's like, it's a few years later. We know how much can change. We know how defenses can adapt in the NFL in just a few years. You know, Derrick Henry and that amazing offensive line isn't there now for him. I don't think Najee Harris is as good as Derrick Henry, prime Derrick Henry, hot take. But yeah, I'll definitely be keeping an eye on Pittsburgh this year just to see how that project turns out. And I mean, they're also, it's an Atlanta connection. They're coming to Atlanta this season as well. So that's one of those on the fence games that could have some serious implications for the Falcons when it comes to those final standings.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see. You know, I'm interested to see how stuff works over there too. I don't love it. I just don't love anything about what's going on in Pittsburgh either. But I know there was a good point. You know, it can't be worse than Matt Canada. So it's very true. I mean, it's definitely true. So, you know,
yeah,
Jason Gaines,
hey,
we got it. Yeah. What's that?
That's not our problem anymore.
No, not our problem
it's
anymore.
Not our problem.
Yeah. Jason Gaines says we got to get the trademark out on the Big Penix Energy merch to sell on YouTube. I agree. That's a good one. We got to trademark that as soon as possible. But and the last donation we got, Jason Gaines with the $2 says, not a fan of the Rukururo pick in round 2. He was projected to go around pick 68, which would have been an early third. ATL took him 35 picks early and gave up a premium third rounder to get him. I hope that I'm wrong, but I see him as a bust. The thing about Rook, like, I may have like oversold how big of a project he was. He's a project pass rusher, but Rook is a very good run defender. Like, he will probably start in base packages. And like this defense is going to have a lot of like one or zero tech nose and then 2-4 eye defensive ends, like 3-4 defensive ends. And Rook can absolutely be one of those 4 eye defensive ends, as could Grady Jarrett, as could David Onyemata, as could Brandon Dorlus. So, you know, I think Rook could probably play a significant role right away as the base package run defender in that 4-eye sort of spot. And I think why they like him so much is he has the length to really be a pain in the ass for guards there. And I think that if he can learn how to rush the passer, like, he could be a really, really good 4-eye defensive end. Like, he's kind of the prototype for what they're wanting to do there. But he just, I don't know how much pass rush we're going to get out of him as a rookie. That's the big question. But I do think that he will play, and he'll probably play a lot in the base package, which could be sort of a plus to the pass rush in that if you can trust Rook to handle that run defense and you don't have to have Jarrett and Onyemata doing that, or you could have just one of them out there in the base package instead of both and still have good run defense, that does free up one of those guys then to be a full-time pass rusher. Like, if you could just keep, you know, Grady as a full-time pass rusher, you know, that, and you keep him fresh. Because Grady, let's be honest, like, for his age, he's not, like, old. A lot of people think Grady Jarrett's, like, an old man. He's, like, 31. Like, come on, he's not that old. Like, but, like, he doesn't need to be playing 60, 70% of the snaps. You know, that's just, he's going to get tired. Like, you can't rush it at full capacity if you're playing that much on the interior. So if you could get Grady more to, like, 40 to 50% of snaps and have Rook take some of those base package reps off his plate, that could be, like, an addition by subtraction thing where you help the pass rush by taking the run defense reps off of the plate of someone like a Grady Jarrett. So I wonder if, you know, that's sort of the plan with that pick, and we'll have to see how quickly he can acclimate. And then if he can give you more as a pass rusher quickly, then it's gravy. Then it's like, okay, now you can just mix and match however you want. But whereas, like, Dorlus is, like, kind of the opposite. Like, Dorlus, I think, needs to probably add 10 pounds, which is going to take time. And I think he's more of a pass rusher. He is more of a polished pass rusher, which is surprising to me that he ends up going later than Aroro, because usually the teams prioritize the pass rush. But I think if Dorlus tacks on the 10 pounds, he could be a 4-eye pass rusher. And you know, I think if he gets a little bit stronger, he can play the run too. And I think long-term, they would like to have Aroro and Dorlus be their 2 4-eye starters, and they could have other guys rotate in. But, you know, we'll see. I'm more, like, positive about Aroro the player than I am the trade. Like, I won't argue with anyone that doesn't like the trade down or the trade up, because I didn't like the trade up. But I like the player, and I have a lot of hope for him. So that does help a little bit. You know, if they drafted somebody I hated after the trade up, then I would never shut up about it. So at least I like the player they got. That's the takeaway. But all right, we've already been on for 1 hour and 18 minutes in mid-May. This is way too long for a mid-May show. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for all the donations. Thanks to the chat for hanging out with us. Before we sign off, I want to thank my co-host Adnan Ika. She's at Say Which Way. Adnan, anything else you'd like to plug before we sign off tonight?
You know, just going to plug thefalcoholic.com. You know, your one-stop shop on everything Falcons related. You know, talking about, I'm sure you'll have some of your roster projections up there as we get through the coming weeks and months. And yeah, we're just sort of, you know, and that this is the official dead period right now until rookie minicamp. The schedule will be coming out probably on Wednesday, according to reports. And I think it'll come out exactly as we're hitting the air live. So, definitely. I mean, yeah. Hopefully that happens, because that's going to give us a nice hour of content of just, you know, some real-time reactions to the schedule. Like, we're all about the content when it comes to May. Like, please, Roger Goodell.
Anything, really, yeah. Anything, yeah.
Just a crumb of content is all we ask right now. But, yeah, no, I think that'll be really fun if it happens that way, because they normally release a schedule at, what, 8 p.m.? We start at 8 p.m., so it'll be ours and the viewers' actual, like, first reactions to the actual, like, full schedule, minus any schedule leaks that happen throughout the day, which there's always some schedule leaks. There's going to be some fake account that does fake schedule leaks as well that everyone just, you know, eats up and falls for. It happens every single year. But there's going to be some real ones from actual reputable sources as well. So, you know, I'm really hoping it works out that way and that we can have, you know, an hour of time to just react to, you know, next year's schedule and to see what primetime games we have next season, if any.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm excited to see. I think we'll get at least one this year. I think the streak ends that we don't have any. But yeah, other than that, I don't know how many we're going to get. So I guess we'll see.
We'll get at least the Vikings one.
Yeah, like Vikings, I think the Eagles maybe two. I could see the Eagles being one.
Yeah, I mean, what we play the Cowboys this year?
We play the Cowboys and Giants, so maybe they just want to stuff, you know, those. We know they want to stuff those teams in primetime whenever they can. So any of those could be primetime too. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that works. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Kevin. I have Falcoholic Kevin. Appreciate you guys for tuning in to Falcoholic Live. Like, subscribe, check out the Patreon. We're going to be getting more information about the Patron Fantasy Leagues coming soon. I know those were a lot of fun last year. Looking forward to another round this year. So you can sign up there or join the YouTube channel members as well. So you can check that out, folks. Also, please do leave us that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Thanks again to Bet Online for sponsoring tonight's episode. We will see you guys real soon for more takes. I will be coming in on Friday, I believe, with the first 53-man roster projection, which is what I like to call the entirely too early edition or the post-draft edition, whichever you prefer. But, you know, someone's got to do it, right? You got to get these 53-man rosters out here. And then, of course, I will be having some more good takes, some more guests coming on to discuss this Falcons draft and offseason as we get into the summer. And rookie minicamp next week too, schedule release. There's lots of stuff on the horizon until, you know, after that, then there's nothing until, you know, July. So enjoy it while it lasts is all I can say. But thanks again, guys, for joining us tonight. We'll see you next time on the Falcoholic Live. Have a great day, folks.
See ya.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.